Welcome to the Discipleship Pathway Podcast. Our podcast exists to help people take their next step in Christ. Every disciple needs a plan in following after Christ. The road's not easy. The road's not always clear. Our hope is to provide simple resources to help people on the journey along the way.
Right. Well, welcome to the Discipleship Pathway Podcast. Nick Serene here with Matt Denning, said looking to help people take their next steps in Christ. And so today we are looking at the practices, specifically the idea of the disciplines in the faith, as well as what it means, what it looks like to be devoting ourselves to those disciplines. And so Matt, where are we starting today?
Well, I think it'd be helpful to start with, what are these disciplines that we're talking about? We keep referencing these, you know, we're using disciplines and practices kind of interchangeably. We keep referencing disciples need practices. We've talked about how practices are these rhythms in our life and how we really practically follow Jesus and prepare room for him. And we did the assessment, where are we at, head, heart, hands? Are we kind of outsized in one and overemphasizing one and avoiding another? And what are these practices? Well, here we are. So this next step, the third one in the apprentice script, overviews or introduces the different disciplines. And this is by no means meant to be exhaustive. First, we have available a book that we put together that's longer, that walks through each of these nine disciplines and unpacks them. Why are they important? What does it look like? And a few ideas where it gets a little bit more granular in terms of detail and how you can implement them. This just gives some ideas for each. And the list of disciplines here is not exhaustive. So what we've done is, at the back of this book, at the back of the disciplines book, we have a list of suggested resources on all the, you know, for the different disciplines and whatnot, that you can go and go more in depth with each of these. A lot of good stuff out there, but you could start with that list that we put there. So what I want to do is, one, I want to first, okay, how do we go from, we just talked about, okay, I've done an assessment, and I'm like me, I'm all head, very little hands. So what do I do with that? Okay, so how do we think about this list? And then the other thing is just kind of walk through what are these, why are they important, and just initially kind of looking at, why do we even have a list of several ways of doing it? Isn't there just one way to read the Bible? Why are there a few different ways here? So first, the head, heart, hands thing. Actually, the last paragraph in this section has where it kind of walks through where it's like, okay, if you want to round out your growth, if you want to grow, like for me, if I want to grow in terms of, like, I'm all head, okay, I'm going to keep reading the Bible. But a lot of those ones that are like the head are more ones that are going to be like reading the Bible, prayer, confession. And of course, these disciplines, there's not just head. There's not just heart, just, you know, fellowship and is more those like sharing life with one another. It's more the affections, fellowship, hospitality. We'll break down how those are different from one another, witnessing to others. But then that last one, like obedience, the hands muscles are like service, stewardship, resting or Sabbathing. Again, none of these disciplines really fit in one of those categories. However, largely they do. Like, if I'm more the intellectual, the head kind of person, I'm going to avoid service. Like, I'm going to have low, like, a need for that. So consider, as we're talking about these, consider, okay, like for me, it was important to, all right, I need to have some heart muscle work here. So I'm going to develop that by leaning into one of those disciplines there, like fellowship or hospitality, having others into our home. Or I'm going to some of the hand stuff like stewardship, think more intentionally about how I'm stewarding my finances, or something like in my time and volunteering, or service, like serving others, bringing meals to others, meeting needs. So that's how that flows from the head, heart, hands to how do I kind of think about these. So just hold that as we, when we get to the last step. But so let's just, what are these nine disciplines, and then kind of walk through what we mean by each of them. So we have the word, or being in God's word, scripture reading, Bible reading, prayer, witness or sharing your faith, Sabbath, resting, taking a day and Sabbathing, stewardship, confession, fellowship, hospitality, and service. So, Nick, why don't you kind of break down? So we have under word, you know, Bible reading, which, you know, we have a little statement under each of them, like, why is it important? Like we have here, our world is full of messages. Make sure God's word message is the loudest. It is not a question of if you are going to build your life on somebody's word, right? We can think, well, I'm not reading the Bible because I just kind of as follow my own wisdom. Well, you're actually going to build that wisdom on somebody's. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't read God's word, but somebody's word or wisdom or advice will guide your life. Mm-hmm. It could be, you could be a philosophy major and it's, you know, Platonic philosophy. It could be as deeply intellectual as you want, or it could just be some random TikTok mm-hmm. person. But somebody or your parents or just the advice of the day, something will guide your life. So the question is it working? And if it's not God's word, I would come, it's not going to work. So it's not a question of if, but what is the word that you're turning to in your daily life? And so that's kind of just a statement that says, like, we got all kinds of messages. Is God's word the loudest message in your life? But Nick, walk us, just to kind of set this up for all the other disciplines, we have things that are like daily Bible reading, or listening to the Bible, like on a, you know, if you have like an app for, you know, where you more are listening to the Bible versus just reading it, but some kind of like daily reading a chapter of the Bible, like a Bible reading plan. Or then we have things like Lectio Divina. Like, that's not even English. What are we talking about there? A Bible memorization plan. Why do we have different ways? Isn't there just, like, what if I said, like, Nick, there's just one way to read a Bible? Like, why do we have different ideas?
Yeah, and so we all probably have a default way that we, if we are Bible readers, a default way that we have been reading. Someone taught us to first read the Bible at some point, and that someone had some method that was taught to them so that they could read the Bible. We have different ways listed of reading Scripture because there is different ways that we can learn and understand different aspects of the Lord through His Word. And so you can look through Scripture in a topical way, and it's really going to highlight certain characteristics about God. It's going to emphasize, if we're doing a study on salvation, like all the different ways that God had a saving hand for His people in the Old Testament, and His desire for us to be His children as seen there and in the New Testament as well. And so as we look at Scripture in a topical way, that's going to help encourage and challenge and sharpen us in one way. But if we do a Bible read through, that's going to illuminate our hearts in another. And so we have different ways listed because as we're living life, if we were to just read it one way always forever, it's going to become monotonous. It's going to feel old. It's going to feel rote, dry at times. And so part of it's just in the game of baseball, a good pitcher's got five different pitches because that's going to help it be a scene that's hard for batters to follow after. And so a good pitcher is going to have a curveball, a knuckleball, and a good Christian, I'd argue, weird analogy maybe, but a good Christian is going to have different ways of going into God's word, believing that the Lord's going to make His word fresh in different ways to us as we're looking at it in different ways.
Mm. Yeah, it reminds me of Don Whitney. Yeah, Don Whitney, who's a professor at Southern, which is a seminary I went to, he has a great book, probably the number one I'd recommend on spiritual disciplines. I think it's Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. He has, so that's one I'd highly recommend to grab and read to go more in depth in some of this. But he had another book called Praying the Bible. It was on, which I'd recommend for prayer as a resource. Like, how do I pray the Bible? Like, what if the Bible guided my prayers? Simple little book, great little book. And I remember he says in there, and he used to say this in classes, he would say, the problem with prayer, he had a Southern accent, so I'm going to try to capture it. He'd say, the problem with prayer is that you just end up praying the same old things in the same old way. And it was like, amen. Right? Like, over time, you just, you say, okay, I need this. It's my bills again. Maybe my knee keeps bothering me. You know, like, not that those aren't important things. It's just a matter of, we kind of go, what do I pray for next? Mm-hmm. And it's that idea that these disciplines can get rote and dry, mm-hmm. and they become something that becomes empty. You're just going through the motions. And so sometimes changing up, like you're saying, the methodology, our approach can be incredibly helpful. So we've listed different ideas just merely because, one, I'd say we live in such a distracting time. It is so hard for our attention to be present that if you're in the morning, it's 5 a.m. and you're getting up a half an hour early to be able to read the Bible before work, and you're just reading through the chapter, and it's easy for your mind to wander, and you see the words with your eyes, mm-hmm. but you're not absorbing it. So some of these different methodologies that you can read into, and some of them, like the Lectio Divina, we go into in the Disciplines book real quick, where a simple Google search will introduce you to it. But it's not that complicated. It's just that it's called Lectio Divina. It's from the Latin, divine reading. And it's just a way of meditating on God's word. And so, for instance, in this, what it will do, especially narrative, is it will walk you through four different movements. And imagine, like, for instance, the scene where Jesus heals the widow who comes up behind him and touches his garment, and she's healed right in the crowd. Well, one of the readings might walk you through what it's like to be her, trying to, like, it'll have you close your eyes. You'll read it, close your eyes, and then imagine the smells, the sounds. What's it like being in that crowd? Or what does it feel like physically? People are pushing you away. You're desperately trying to get to Jesus. You're sweaty. Is it sun? Like, it's really hot. And then finally you feel that garment. And then you feel the change in your body. Maybe then the next reading will walk you through. You read it again. And then maybe you will imagine the scene from this, like the man that you imagine standing next to Jesus who's actually blocking her. And then you begin to, like, somebody else in the crowd. And then you feel the moment of, like, the frustration that this woman's trying to get around you. Maybe you elbow her. And then the next moment where you see her healed. And then you feel this guilt, this confusion, right? Like, you can feel how that gets you to slow down and be in God's word. Now, you're probably going to read it at a much slower pace. There is no divinely prescribed way of reading the Bible or pace. I would say, yeah, read through. You want breadth and depth. You want to read through the whole Bible. You want to familiarize yourself with it. So, and maybe there are aspects of your life where you're reading through Bible in big chunks at a time, so you familiarize yourself with all of it. But then, remember, it's a lifelong journey. Like, you're going to read through the Bible multiple times if you consistently read it, and maybe there are times when you really slow down. So that's why there are different versions, just using Scripture here and the ideas as an example. But then we have, again, so that's Bible reading. We have prayer, just having that foundational time of communing with God, so it's not just you're relating to God through just truths, but you're actually bringing your heart before him. And then I want to jump down out of order here from what's in the book here, but then confession. Because I think of, like, word of God, prayer, confession as kind of like a three that go together. Like, if I'm in the morning meeting with the Lord, these three largely go together. So, Nick, what is confession?
Yeah, confession, it's coming before the Lord with the things that we might not want to come before the Lord with, but need to come before the Lord with. In the book you had written, confession, to know God, we must acknowledge that which is not of him. And so as we live life on earth, we tend to let our flaws and mistakes and brokenness be known and seen and heard and felt. And as a Christian makes mistakes and accidentally says the wrong thing, they in time sense guilt from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of a relationship with a loving and gracious and forgiving God is that we can bring those things before him and say, Lord, that is not of you. Mm-hmm. Forgive me for this. Take this from me. Mm-hmm. You've already taken it from me. It's acknowledging the sin, acknowledging the brokenness, while also affirming that we have a God who is graciously taking it from us.
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things. Do you ever have a time where, because you got to do something with it, right? And I almost want to edit this in real time right now. I'm realizing, to know God, we must acknowledge that which is in us, which is not of him. That's the intention of that line, right? Like, that which is in us. Like, there's sin in us. Mm-hmm. There's darkness in us that is not of him. And so we want to relate. We want to be in God's presence, but we're holding on to these things. They ensnare us. They keep us from experiencing his presence, from following him. They just, frankly, rupture our lives. We live in a against the grain of how God wired the world, right? So it's not going to go well. So confession is a time where we have to do something with that. Do we sweep it under the rug? But what do we do with it? Over time, we don't. It's kind of like we'll talk about this when we, like, Sundays in the gathering and how we describe or design Sunday mornings for the flow of it. When you come in on Sunday mornings, you can sing a song and put your hands up and praise God and get all excited. But at some point, as you enter into the presence of a holy God, you realize, the way we put it is, you realize what your hands have done over the last week. You slowly remind, as you think high thoughts of God, you realize what your imagination entertained. And as you're singing to God, what your mouth has said, you begin to realize, I'm in the presence of a holy God, and a healthy response is to realize how you're not holy. And what do you do with that? So every Sunday we have a time of confession. We have a time where we acknowledge that. If you every day are in God's word, you're spending time with God, or every week, or whenever you're, the patterns of being able to be with God, if you're consistently going through just kind of pushing it under the rug, not addressing it, you will become a certain kind of Christian. And so that time of confession can be really healthy. So we have a few listed there. We also have, again, witness, sharing our faith. Are we consistently thinking about that? So those three are kind of like the head, like rightly relating to God and knowing him and knowing ourselves. That's kind of, confession is also knowing ourselves. And knowing and being honest about our relationship with others. Like, confession is a time of, like, man, I'm bitter about that person. I won't forgive them. And bring that before the Lord. But then the ones that are more like the heart ones are fellowship, hospitality, and witnessing. Now, I really quickly want to, what the difference between fellowship and hospitality. The reason why we listed those is fellowship tends to be more internal. Like, think like the church, like the other Christian friends I have. Like, these are the people that I want to have deep relationships with, where they're vulnerable, we're open, and we do life together. And so we're known. And so those are the people who are a support, a buttress in our life, that are coming alongside us. Whereas hospitality, the way I read it scripturally, is more showing hospitality to the stranger, to the person who's outside the church, the person who's maybe new, inviting that person in that you don't already have an established connection with. And so we have ideas for both of those. I know that my wife and I, realizing that because of our tendencies, we actually scheduled one night a week where I think it was like Tuesday night was fellowship. Somebody from church, we invited them over. Dinner was always planned to have somebody over. Then Thursday nights were somebody from outside the church, coworkers, friends from, you know, high school years, whatever. We'd have them over on those nights. And we just had that in our calendar as part of our practices, our rhythms, so that we were practicing hospitality and fellowship once a week. So that's an idea, something that we were doing. And then witness flows out of that. You see how that progresses, fellowship to hospitality to the witness. Mm-hmm. And so it's really that, is my heart, am I tangibly like loving God and loving others, right? And then that last one of service, or the hand muscles, sorry, not service, but the hand muscles, is then Sabbath and stewardship and service. So, Nick, Sabbath, what are we talking about with that?
Well, the Lord created everything we see and know in 6 days, and what did he do on that seventh day but rest? There's a cadence that is a beautiful cadence in the life of a believer where we slow down, and we do that every day in an individual way. And a healthy rhythm as well in our life every given week, to have a day to pause in a similar way as the Lord, to look back at what he's done, to delight in him, is a rhythm that's worth practicing. God did that. God modeled that, and we ought to be doing the same thing. And so Sabbath, it's in a restless world, we are resting in the finished work of Christ.
Well said. Yeah, so those just walk you through those last ones. This just gives you ideas how you can implement these disciplines. What are they? And again, this is by no means exhaustive, but it's meant to give you a starting paradigm. Mm. And the overall idea with this, we haven't said this, the idea with these tools are tools you're going to come back to again and again. Like, this is to help you think intentionally about what are the patterns of my life, the practices of following Christ, like actually doing it, functionally doing it, where I make time and space and I'm intentional in my walk with Christ. So that then a year from now, when life changes, you move cities, you get a new job, or you start your career, or you have kids or another kid, or you enter retirement, whatever phase, when life changes, because we're in a constantly changing world, that you're a self-feeder. You're able to then think, oh, I don't need someone else to come alongside and do this for me. But you realize, this is now my new season. How do I establish these habits? So you're constant. This is teaching you real, breaking it down in simple steps for how to do this and be intentional. So with that, let's land on the last one, which is just devote. And this is where we get to, okay, where do we cultivate these into our life? So we have then a chart that just breaks it down, kind of these different, the different disciplines based upon, you know, that kind of knowing and loving and obeying Jesus' head, heart, hands. And then the chart breaks down to daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and then annually, where it's just a simple space for you to write in, okay, daily, which of these disciplines am I going to weave into my daily life? Which ones at each of these increments, where will I weave them in and what will I be doing? And so, Nick, it says start simple. Where would you start if you were to just sit down and go, okay, how do I think about my rule of life and in my life? What would be the simple starting place? How would you start? Because what I don't want is somebody to go, oh my goodness, I need to have something in every one of these blocks, right? Mm-hmm. And then they just burn out because they try to do all nine disciplines. So how would you start?
Yeah, and so if somebody's done the assessment that was mentioned on the last podcast, it's in the chapter before in the apprentice scripts, if there's that assessment piece that's taken place and you've started to see and understand, man, like, by the grace of God, this is where I'm strong right now, and, oh, Lord, this is the place that I need to grow, a great way to look at these disciplines is through this lens of, like, all right, am I a head, heart, or hands individual by default, and keep doing those things that you're strong in. Don't reduce those or take those out of your life. At the same time, though, that area of growth, look through those disciplines and think through, man, if I'm really weak with my heart right now, what are some of these disciplines that I could take practical steps to grow in so that, you know, a year from now or 5 years from now, I can look back and say, you know what, I made an intentional decision to start to have some different rhythms when it comes to the relationships in my life. And so I think it's highlighting and knowing those disciplines that may become more natural for you as a follower of Christ and keep doing those. But then it's, you know, if you're coming before the Lord and saying, God, I know I need to grow in this other area, and here's some things that we have listed out to help walk people through those. So I think a good starting point is just knowing kind of the polar opposites. Here's where I'm strong. Here's where I need to grow, and really spending some time in quiet time before the Lord about some intentional things you can do with those growth areas, with the disciplines.
Yeah, and if you just, I would say start with, okay, here are the ones I already have. Maybe you're already reading the Bible for 15 minutes every morning. You read like a chapter a day or something. Like, you kind of look at where you're starting. And I would just think in terms of, let's add one daily, maybe one weekly, one monthly. Just kind of think like one or two. Don't try to do them all. And maybe after a week you're like, man, so let's say I'm right now I'm reading the Bible. I'm actually going to add in some prayer journaling with that daily, or some time of confession daily. And maybe once a week I'm going to have a night, kind of how I shared, like where I'm going to have a how my wife and I did it, where I'm going to have one night where I, Tuesday nights are where I try to find somebody. I have an open slot at dinner. Somebody, another family comes over to join us for dinner. We make dinner and we invite others in. And maybe it's once a month I fast one day. Maybe that's one of the disciplines that you, under prayer, we go into fasting and whatnot. But maybe I'm gonna fast one day. And maybe after 2 or 3 weeks, you're like, you know, I can insert more. Well, then come back to it. You can constantly tweak this. Or this was too much. I tried to do 3 different disciplines daily and 3 more every week and 3. And it was like, that was too much. Mm. Start simple. We like, you know, we've said it before. Run the race at the pace of grace. God is going to strengthen these muscles as you go. This would be like trying to show up at the gym and just go, I'm going to bench 300 pounds. No, you're not. start at 100 pounds. Start at 100, wherever you're at, 120 or 50. Like, start with the bar, you know. Start there and work your way up. So don't try to go in or else you're going to burn yourself out. You're going to get discouraged. But just start and let God use these. Like, none of these are things that, like, you're going to lose your salvation if you're not doing them all. Just start somewhere. And be honest as you go. Where are ones that I feel like God's calling me to take that next step, establish that next discipline, and then maybe even think quarterly, annually. Again, it could be a quarterly fast, an annual. Fasting is one that comes up usually, or an extended Sabbath. Like, you know, Sabbath is one day, but maybe you have like a getaway type of Sabbath once a year or once every quarter, those kinds of things. So consider where you could integrate these into your life as specific as you can. You're right. I'm going to fast once a month on the first Monday of the month, something like that, where you get as specific as you can, schedule it, put it into, if it's a daily or weekly thing, put it into your ideal week. If it's put it into your calendar and plan for it. So be intentional with it.
And so if I'm hearing you right there, Matt, then it's start with something simple, figuring out one or two areas that you're really wanting to focus on, pace yourself in those one or two areas, scheduling that time and reflecting in your own time with the Lord as you're doing that, bringing others in on that. Those are kind of the processes you're laying out there.
Mm-hmm. With it. Yep. So it's a very simple tool. And at the same time, it helps you be intentional. Helps you be intentional with identifying and taking that next step and following Jesus as Lord and establishing practices that prepare room for his power and presence.
Yeah, well put, Matt. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today and look forward to being with you all soon.